begins when everybody was away. But I can't say that today because it looks like everybody's here. We've been talking about the living words of the Christian faith whenever I speak. And we've talked about seven of them so far. And I just want to go back and review the ones that we've covered. And maybe some of you want to write these down. I'm going to give the word and then a description of that word. First of all, the first word of the Christian faith that we looked at was salvation. And that's the word of power. And we gave Romans 1, 16 and 17 as key verses for that, where Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Salvation, the word of power. It's the power of God. It's the dynamite of God. It can take the lowliest of sinners and completely transform that life and turn it around and make it anew. Salvation. The second word that we looked at was substitution. That's the word of grace. You've heard the acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense, is a definition of grace. Substitution. Jesus Christ was our substitute. He took our place on the cross. You can see that these words that we're looking at, these seven words, are words that deal with our salvation. The next word, the third one, was propitiation. You say that one real fast and you'll get your tongue all tangled up. Propitiation. And that is the word of satisfaction. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. God demands death for our sins. He's never changed. God has always demanded death for our sins. And so Jesus Christ became our propitiation. He satisfied God's demand. The word of satisfaction. God said, death to sin. Jesus Christ took our sins upon Himself and He died in our place. And then the fourth word was reconciliation. And that's the word of peace. At the worship service this morning, we sang songs about peace. Various ones talked about peace. It says in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Reconciliation, the word of peace. We have peace within our hearts because we've been reconciled to God by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. Jesus Christ made our reconciliation possible. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, 19 and 21, "To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." So, the word reconciliation. The fifth word was redemption. And that's the word of freedom. Jesus paid the redemptive price for our sins. And we have been made free. John 8:36 says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been made free. I don't care what you go through life. I used to go to the prison and speak, and I used to take prisoners out to church and have Bible studies with them. And one guy told me, he said, that was a verse that I should use for the prison work. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I don't care if you're behind prison bars. You can be free in the Lord Jesus Christ. The sixth word that we looked at was justification. That's the word of assurance. We have been justified in Christ. He took what we justly deserve, and we have been justified. It says in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified freely by His grace. And the last word that we looked at was regeneration. And that's the word of life. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which ye have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. We have been regenerated. And I used this when I talked about it. I heard this from Lehman Strauss. But he was talking about when God created Adam, when God created man, He generated him. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man was created in the image of God. And man was without sin. He was generated. Well, then Adam and Eve disobeyed God and they ate of the forbidden fruit and they became degenerated. And they needed regeneration. It says in Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Every one of us were born into this world sinners in need of regeneration. And the only way that you can be regenerated is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. To accept the shed blood of Christ on the cross for your sins. You see, God can't see through Jesus' blood. And all our sins are buried in the depths of the sea, never be remembered again. They're buried under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Regeneration, the word of life. The word that we come to now, we're kind of turning a corner now. All of these dealt with salvation. Now we come to the word sanctification. Sanctification is the word of purity, holiness, being pure before God and before men. Some form of that word is used 140 times in the Scriptures. So you can see the Lord thinks it's important. Sanctification, the word of purity. It means to set apart through spiritual cleanness. The Hebrew meaning is to be clean, consecrate, dedicate, holy, purify. The Greek meaning, make holy, purify, consecrate. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. Ye double-minded, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now, if you're a Christian and you're sitting here waiting for God to sanctify you, there's something you have to do too. You can't earn your salvation. There's nothing you can do to make yourself acceptable before God except by faith, accepting the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when it comes to sanctification, you have a part in it. You see, God does not force Himself on you. God does not force you to be saved. He's given you the opportunity to hear the gospel. He's given you, and every one of you would have a different testimony of how you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But God brought circumstances to bear to bring you to the place that you realize you are a sinner in need of the Savior. And in this thing of sanctification, God has made the tools available for you to be sanctified. And that's His desire for each one of us as believers. There's a book that I've had for many years. I heard the man speak many years ago up in Canada. His name is Roy Hessian. And his book is The Calvary Road. And this book is really a challenge to us as believers to live holy, pure, consecrated lives, totally dedicated to the Lord. The school I went to in Canada had as their verse, Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Are we really living crucified lives? Are we really on the Calvary Road? Roy Hessian says in his book, The Calvary Road, an overall picture of the life of victory which has come to many of us, and that is that of the highway in Isaiah 35, verses 8 and 9. It says, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go in thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. The way of holiness. I like to go in bookstores, not buy books, but just look at the titles in Bible bookstores. And you know, I get a lot of ideas for messages just looking at the titles of books. Well, I just looked at some of the books that I have. Now, these books go back, way back. And some of them are paperback, but back before the 1950s, but some of them are 1950s, 1960s, 1970s, and some even earlier than that are reprints. But I just want to read some of the titles of some books that I found in my library, because every one of these books, every one of these titles is describing sanctification. Listen to this. The Calvary Road. We would see Jesus. Be filled now. Victorious Christian living. Now these three were by Ellie Maxwell, who I had as a teacher up in Canada. Born crucified, abandoned to Christ, crowded to Christ. Andrew Murray, like Christ, abide in Christ. Watchman Nee, the normal Christian life, changed into His likeness. Stuart Briscoe, the fullness of Christ. A.W. Tozer, the incredible Christian. T.S. Rendell, living the abundant life. Larry Richards, the complete Christian. All of these are describing sanctification. Now you look at the books that are coming out today, and you're not going to find many with those titles like that. You know that? They're different today. Why is that? I think because we're getting away from this thing of sanctification. We're getting away from this thing of living holy lives. And the Church of Jesus Christ is compromising more and more with the world. We want to look like the world. We want to smell like the world. We want to talk like the world. And think we're going to reach the world? It's a sad situation that we find ourselves in. This book, The Calvary Road, George Vera of Operation Mobilization requires that anybody that comes with his mission reads The Calvary Road. And he also encourages them to read the follow-up book, which is We Would See Jesus. If you can find the book, I dare you to read it. It'll step on your toes. I don't care who you are. It'll step on your toes. Steve's read it, hadn't he? The Cal Road. I thought you'd said yeah. But that's a book that will really bring about revival in your life if you really apply it. Because it's just giving you what the Word of God says. We're going to be looking at, there was an article in the Uplook magazine, January, February of 2006, by William McDonald. And it had a lot of these words in that Uplook magazine that we've been looking at. But William McDonald's assignment was sanctification. And he talked about different kinds of sanctification. And he says this, distinguishing the various aspects of sanctification is the key to a true understanding of the doctrine. So we have to distinguish the various aspects of sanctification. So I'm using his outline, though I put some other meat on the bones. But I'm using his outline that was in Uplook in 2006, January, February. First of all, pre-conversion sanctification. Now this is a stage of sanctification that we don't usually think about. Pre-conversion sanctification. Just to illustrate this, I was raised up just a mile or two down the road here. In 1968, I went to Alberta, Canada, to a little Bible school out on the prairies of Alberta called Prairie Bible Institute. And I had made a profession when I was 10 years old. But every time I heard a gospel message, every time I heard an invitation given, I felt guilty. Because you see, I was just doing what my friends had done. And they all went forward and they prayed and they were baptized and they became a member of the church. But I knew there was something missing in my life. Yeah, we had a guy that was working with us, with the young people who had been a missionary in Nigeria with Sudan Interior Mission. And he was here on furlough one year and worked with the young people here at Community Baptist Church. And he told me, he says, I think you ought to go to Prairie Bible Institute. And I knew nothing about this place, except that they had a dairy farm, and I liked working on a farm, so I thought, that's all right. I'll go, and it cost a lot less than any school around here. I went to school for $500 a year for everything in 1968. It cost me $70 to fly there from Greensboro. So there that first year, we started studying Genesis, and we went from Genesis to the Song of Solomon that first year in our Bible class. And man, I saw how ignorant I was. And then we had personal evangelism class, and we had to learn 7 verses a week. Man, I said, I can't learn Scripture. And the teacher, when all of us were moaning and groaning about it, said, how many of you know your telephone number? I said, how did you learn it? Well, using it. I said, that's right. But in October, right about this time, in 1968, it was a Friday, and I was so discouraged, I was ready to pack my bags and come back home. And the Lord was just putting me under conviction. You see, it was pre-conversion sanctification. The Lord put me in a situation 2,700 miles away from home to awaken me to my need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was memorizing Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 and 38. Jesus saith unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And I knew I didn't love the Lord like that. I went up there to work on a farm. Every morning I went out and had to clean out the milking barns, walk behind those old cows and clean the milking barn out. Then I had to go to a pig barn, 200 pigs in it, clean it out. But there on the backside of the desert, the Lord was working in my life. And that day, I went to my room and I said, I haven't been sure of my salvation all these years. I was 20 years old now, 10 years since I made that profession. I said, I'm going to make sure. And I did right there that day. I got on my knees beside my bed and I invited the Lord Jesus Christ into my life. But you see, God worked the circumstances out. Paul speaks about that in Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Paul says here in Galatians 1, 15 to 16, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. God separated me from my mother's womb. God had a plan for my life. And pre-conversion sanctification brought Paul to his knees on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians. And I'm sure, and I thought many times when Paul was there and the people were laying their coats at his feet and he was encouraging on and he was a cheerleader when they were stoning that godly man Stephen. That was part of that pre-conversion sanctification. God was working on him by the life of that man. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Through sanctification of the Spirit unto the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world. That's pre-conversion sanctification. William MacDonald says, long before a person is born again, the Holy Spirit has been working in his life, setting him apart from the world and wooing him to Christ. I remember hearing a man once talking about a situation in Lynchburg, Virginia, where they were going to open up a liquor store right down the road from Thomas Road Baptist Church. And Jerry Falwell went to the council meeting. And he said, if you open that, if you allow that liquor store to open up, you, and you won't be on this council the next time. And what this guy said is, Jerry Falwell was the conscience for that community. You see, we can be a conscience for the community, and we can make a difference in some people's lives. We can have a part in this pre-conversion sanctification in somebody's life because we are standing holy for the Lord. You know, I've talked many a times about Psalm chapter 1, and it talks about that blessed man being like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He's an evergreen. And when everything dies around it, as we see now the leaves are beginning to turn and all the leaves are going to fall off the tree that is going to stand out is the evergreen. And that's what the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to be those evergreens. Though when it's all dead around us, we're going to be that light in the darkness. And we're going to have an effect on other people. That is pre-conversion sanctification. But then there's positional sanctification. That's the moment you're born again. You become positionally sanctified. That means that as far as his standing before God is concerned, as far as our standing before God is concerned, we are perfectly set apart to God from the world because we're in Christ. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Old things are passed away. That old life is gone. It's a new life now. I'm a new creation. I have been born again. I should be showing forth the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. It says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30 and 31, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And in Hebrews 10 through 12 it says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering, oft times the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down at the right hand of God. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. 1 Corinthians 1, 2, under the church. Here Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, one of the most carnal churches that we read about in the New Testament. In other words, they were not walking in sanctification. They were not walking in holiness, in purity. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that are in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. My faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ means that I am made holy before God. That's positional sanctification. Then the third one is progressive sanctification. That's where many of you are right now. Progressive sanctification. The other day, I went out to check our mail, and we're always getting all these magazines, you know, to order stuff and all. But I saw a magazine that I knew I didn't order, and I didn't think Loretta ordered. The title of the magazine was Us. I looked on the back of it, and I saw the address of one of my neighbors who was a Christian, who is very strict about their dress and everything. I went in and I looked at this magazine, and it wasn't nothing about us. It was all about them. Hollywood. Nothing about us. You want to read about us? Get in the book. It tells you all about us. You know what? Romans 3, 10 through 12 says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. That's about us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's about us. That's where God wants us to be. We don't need to read about them. We don't need to read about the standard that they're setting, and who's married to who, and who's getting out of marriage from who, and all that junk. And I think we need to be watching, as Christians, what kind of magazines we let come into our house. And some of you are getting magazines because there's a certain thing, sports magazines, for instance. There's certain things that you like in that magazine, but there's a lot of trash in them too. And I've seen it. And is that the kind of thing you want your children to be reading? Because maybe you're just reading those articles that you want to see, but you don't know what they're reading when they pick up your magazine. That's something else I like to do, is go into houses and see what kind of magazines people are reading. So you better hide your magazines when I come around. Progressive sanctification. It says in Romans 1:16-17, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And listen to this. For therein, the gospel of Christ, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see, every day when we get up, our goal should be to hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's the prayer that we should pray when we start out, when our feet hit the floor in the morning. Lord, help me to hunger and thirst after righteousness today. Because God's promise is, if you really and truly mean that, you will be filled. Jesus was praying in John chapter 17, verses 14 through 17. And listen to what he said. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You see, to live a sanctified life, you're going to have to be in the word. And it's not enough to depend on somebody else that's up here speaking to do your studying for you. We need to be in it every day. You want to know how we got so many guys that can speak here? Hey, most of us don't speak but once every 2 months. You know what? It's because they're in the Word. And one of the reasons they're in the Word is because they come here for a worship service on Sunday morning. If they haven't been in the Word, nobody's going to say anything. We need to be in God's Word. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy Word is truth. It says in Psalm 119, verse 9 and verse 11, it asks the question. It says, wherewithal, you can say, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, it says, all scripture as given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. May be perfect. May be sanctified. May be purified. May be holy. It's the Word of God. God has given us His Word. It's our roadmap from here to heaven. It warns us. It encourages us. It shows us what God expects of our lives. Then 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now there are some people who call themselves holiness. And it might be a situation where the woman never cuts her hair. And she wears a certain type of clothing that she feels like is not revealing. But you see, if you have holiness on the inside, that's going to take care of the outside. Because if people are living holy lives and they're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, they're going to dress the right way. And you girls are going to wear the right length dresses. Nobody's going to have to tell you. Nobody's going to have to stand there with a yardstick and say if you got it long enough or not. or if it's too low at the top. And why I'm saying this is it's shocking what Christian girls are doing today and Christian women are doing today. And they wonder why men are attacking them. We need to get back to living sanctified lives. And if we let the Spirit of God sanctify us within, we'll be pure without. It says in, well, let me just give you a quote from Ken Ham. I don't know if any of you get Answers Magazine. I just got my first one, and this is the October through December Answers Magazine. But Ken Ham says here, human reason has replaced God's Word, and compromise has crept into the church. A reformation is needed again to call the church to take God at His Word. A reformation is needed for the church to come back to taking God at His Word. Doesn't mean you're being an old fogey to be strict about some things. And don't worry about somebody calling you holier than thou. Because I hadn't seen any of you I thought was. You see, most of the people that think they're holier than thou, they're not anyway. Because they're filled with pride. Okay, it says in 1 Peter 1:15-16, but as He hath, which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, in all manner of life. As He who hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, where is that written? It's in Leviticus chapter 11, verses 44 and 45. For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth ye up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3-7. I'm going to read verse 3 from the King James, and I'm going to read verses 4-7 from the New Living Translation. But listen to this. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, and not in lustful passions like the pagans who do not know God and His ways. Never harm or cheat a Christian brother in this matter by violating his wife, for the Lord avenges all such sins. As we have solemnly warned you before, God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. Now you've seen some of these huge, magnificent cathedrals with stained glass windows and artwork and just beautiful buildings. And people want to treat them holy. I want you to be quiet when you come in there. And we talk about it here. You know, don't run in the auditorium. This is where we meet to worship the Lord. But God says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, if your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, then you should not be defiling your body with sexual sins. You should not be treating your body with disrespect. You know, we can get so busy doing the Lord's work, that we wear our bodies out. And we need to be looking after His temple. That means we shouldn't be having smoke come out of God's temple. Now, I won't even say what I'm talking about there because you know what I'm talking about. That means we shouldn't go out here and just drink it up. You see, there are people, I had neighbors just recently, both of them, in the last few years, died, a husband and wife. And all the years I've known them, they never smoked. But both of them died from something that was caused by smoking. You see, there are Christians who have dropped some of these habits in their lives, and they still might die from lung cancer or some of these other sicknesses that are caused there. Well, another thing is, and I've always liked to do this, is overeating. You look around a lot of preachers, and you can see they haven't backed away from the table enough at the right time. We need to be, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. I heard some men up in Canada when I was there who travel all the time speaking, and revivals would break out where they were, and it was not them standing up there in the pulpit. People were confessing sins, and the preacher wasn't even speaking. There were people just gathering together and stay there for hours confessing sins to one another. But the secret was that those men were very careful about their eating habits. And there were times when they would not eat certain things that might hinder them from allowing the Spirit of God to work through them. We need to get back to that. As Christians, we need to be watching what we're putting in our mouths. We need to be watching what we're doing to our bodies. We need to be looking after God's temple. These are all things that are dealing with progressive sanctification. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 17 and 18 says, Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I start out each morning, I get on my treadmill to walk 2 miles, and I start out, I thought, you know, I'm doing this walking, and I'm not doing anything else, I'm just walking. So, I started trying to remember the scriptures that I'd memorized. And so every morning I try to re-quote those verses. And I start out with Acts 24 and verse 16, where it says, And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. I exercise myself never to have, to always have a clear conscience before God, and in that order, before God and before men. Because you see, if you have a clear conscience before God all the time, he said always, if you have a clear conscience before God, you're going to have a clear conscience before men. I can guarantee you that. But there's so much scripture that we could meditate on, that we could be challenged with. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Psalm 1:1-3 that I've already quoted. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And God promises blessing when we obey his word. Proverbs 3:5-7. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And that word fear, fear in the Lord, means to reverence Him, to respect Him. And if we're not being obedient to His Word, we're not respecting Him. It's just like we're slapping Him in His face if we're not obeying His Word. Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be revealed in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. It says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you can see, these are words to challenge us to be sanctified in this progressive sanctification. And that's why I start out every day quoting Acts 24, 16. And herein, if you're going to exercise your body, you need to be exercising your spirit as well at the same time. And letting the Lord Jesus Christ speak to your heart. Pre-conversion sanctification, positional sanctification, progressive sanctification, and then we have perfect sanctification. When we see the Savior face to face, we're going to have perfect sanctification. We're going to have new bodies. And nobody's going to be in a wheelchair. We're not going to need Jeff Johnson to work on our teeth anymore. Those of us that are losing our hair are going to have it. We're going to have it all. We're going to have a full head. And we're going to be able to count every hair on our head. You see, when we see Him face to face, we're going to have perfect sanctification. It says in Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, talking about the relationship of the husband and the wife. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. And listen to what it says. That He might sanctify. Christ gave Himself for the church, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You see, we're in the midst of progressive sanctification now. We're preparing ourselves for perfect sanctification. So we're getting ready for heaven. And so we need to be exercising ourselves in godliness. We need to be seeking those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We need to be setting our affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Last Sunday night, I went to hear the Zambian vocal group over at Woodbine Baptist, and they sang out here at the community college twice and some of the public schools, and I thought, these guys came from Africa, and they're getting to do stuff that we can't do here in America. They want to hear them. They were singing the words of the Lord. They were giving their testimonies. And those guys had joy on their face. And one of them said, the average income of our parents are $30 a month. $30 a month. And some people were talking to me after the service, and they said, you know, we got everything. I said, that's right. I said, you saw how much joy these guys had, and they have nothing. They have nothing that this world has to offer. And we have allowed the things of this world to draw us away from what Christ wants us to be. All the little trinkets that we have, we just love all our little trinkets, you know. They can't do a thing for us concerning eternity. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 52 and 53 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. We're going to be changed in a moment. And we are going to reach that final stage of sanctification. You see, when you start out in the Christian life, you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been forgiven of your sins. You no longer have to face the penalty of your sins. Jesus did it for you. You're saved from the penalty of sin. And as we live our lives and allow the Spirit of God to work in our hearts, we're being saved from the power of sin. And when Jesus takes us home to be with Him, we're going to be saved from the very presence of sin. Sanctification is very important for the Christian life, as you can see, and the Lord talks about it a lot in His Word, and He gives us plenty of instructions on how to please Him and how to live for Him. But I'm telling you, you're hearing so much now about Christian, those in Christian work who are falling by the wayside because they're not allowing the Spirit of God to sanctify them. They are not living pure lives, and they're allowing all kinds of things that the world has to offer to draw them away and to turn their eyes away from the Lord. Pre-conversion sanctification, the Holy Spirit working in the life of the unsaved before His conversion. Positional sanctification, the moment a person is saved, you're sanctified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're positionally sanctified. Progressive sanctification. Every day, our Christian life, we should be becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, every one of us who are Christians, and somebody said this the other week, you're a saint. You do not have to wait until you die for some church to make you a saint. You are a saint. And a saint is a person who is sanctified. And the reason some of us feel kind of uneasy about being called a saint is probably because we're not living sanctified lives. We're not living holy lives. We're not living pure lives. We're not doing those things in our life. We're not meditating on the Scripture as we should. We're not hiding God's Word in our hearts. And so we feel guilty because our thoughts are not where they should be. Progressive sanctification and then perfect sanctification when we reach heaven, when we see the Lord face to face. Let's close our time in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for how much we can see here about sanctification. Your desire for us as believers is to walk in a way that pleases You, to honor You in every area of our lives. And Lord, we know that there's some sitting right here that you're convicting about something, and we just pray that even now they would make those things right with You. That they would purpose from this day forward to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And we thank You for the promise. We shall be filled. Father, we pray for anybody who might be here today who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it could very well be that You brought them here today that they might experience pre-conversion, sanctification. And we just pray that before they leave this place today, they would make their peace with You, that they would invite the Lord Jesus Christ into their life, that they would realize that they're a sinner in need of the Savior, and that they would realize that You paid the penalty for their sins on that cross. And You desire for them to live for You and to live sanctified, holy lives.
And now, Father, we just pray that you would go with us as we go our separate ways. Watch over us in all that we do throughout this day and throughout this week. Help us, Father, to start out every day dedicating our lives to you, purposing to live for you and honor you in everything that we do. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you.